Blog Talk Radio.
You presume I'm weak, you presume I'm frail, but your perceptions won't prevail. I'm made more than what you see. Hi, this is Kimberly Locke, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Stardish Radio. Today is February 2nd, 2009. I'm your host, Joanne, and I have Brandon right along with me. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, Joanne, how you doing?
I'm doing better, thank you, darling. So much better.
I was worried about you earlier in the evening.
Yeah, I don't know what's going around. You know, these kids, they catch stuff and they bring it home. Who the heck knows what's going on? We have an exciting week ahead of us between the both of us and our shows. So let's do a quick rundown of that. Tomorrow night, I want everybody to come back and listen to and have the opportunity to speak to Sandra D. Robinson from Days of Our Lives, who plays Charlotte Taylor, Dr. Charlotte Taylor on Days of Our Lives. And then Brandon on February 4th on Brandon's Buzz, he will have Laura Bonarigo coming on his show. And tell us who else.
Yeah, I've got Laura Bonarigo on Wednesday, and she is on All My Children right now, and she's formerly of One Life to Live. We're going to have a great conversation. And then Thursday, I've got Maya Bialik of Blossom fame, and she was also in Beaches, good Lord, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the brand new DVD release of Blossom, which is finally out on DVD this week, or last week, rather.
That's great.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great. 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific, both nights, Wednesday and Thursday, Brandon's Buzz.
Right. Now, we also have to, before we get to our guest tonight, because we do have a fabulous guest, we just want to pay a little tribute to an actor who passed away Saturday, January 31st. Brandon, take that.
Yeah. One Life to Live lost one of their own this weekend, a man by the name of Clint Ritchie, who played Clint Buchanan on the show for almost 20 years, from 79 to 98, and then he made periodic appearances after that on the show whenever his schedule allowed, whenever they needed him for, you know, a funeral or an appearance or whatever. But he passed away in California on Saturday morning. He had had a heart attack late last month and then had a pacemaker installed, and I guess a blood clot formed and took his life less than a day later. So our thoughts go out to his family and also to the One Life to Live family. I'm sure Erica Slezak and Bob Woods and Aaron Torpey, Catherine Hicklin, and all of his co-stars had a pretty emotional day today as the news broke.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, we'll have an opportunity to talk to Laura about that also.
Absolutely.
She worked with him as well. So,
absolutely. It's a pretty sad story.
Yeah, it is.
He was such a great guy. I started watching One Life in the summer of 1988, and it was on the tail end of that whole Wild West storyline when they went back to 1888, and everybody was a different character from the past, and that was a great storyline. And he was always one of my favorites on that show. You know, he was a straight shooter. What you saw was what you got. He was just a cowboy, and he seemed like a great guy. I never met him, but he seemed like just a fabulous guy.
Right. No, I agree with you. It is a sad day for One Life to Live. Fans, cast, crew, all alike, I'm sure. So we'll definitely get into that on maybe a little bit more tomorrow as well as on the 4th. Okay, well, getting to tonight's guest, he became a real big fan favorite, American Idol Season 5. And he's doing big things in the entertainment industry in his own way, even though he may not have won that title. So let's go right to the phones and bring on our guest, Kevin Covey.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for having me on tonight.
Oh, thanks for coming on. We're pleased, very pleased
awesome.
To have you.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So you've been a busy guy since American Idol Season 5.
I have
very busy.
Yes. It's been a very busy time. Since my time on the show, I've done a lot of acting, actually. I've appeared in two movies. Coming off my time on the show, I jumped right into actually a lead role in a teen comedy, a raunchy teen comedy called College. We filmed in early 2007. I did Idol back in 06, and the movie came out last August in theaters and just came out on DVD this past Tuesday, actually.
That's right, it did. College, for those of you. I saw it at the video store, but I had a kid-friendly week, and the only one I found was the unrated version, so I couldn't get it. But I will get it when my kids aren't around.
You know what? I do not blame you for that. The movie is a little bit much for kids. I will say definitely 18 and over. And for those who watch me on the show, I know a lot of youngsters watch me on the show. Just wait it out a few more years, and then you can see it once you turn 18. But yeah, it was such a fun time shooting that movie, and we had a blast. And I was so excited for it to come out in August, and now for it to come out on DVD, and it's in stores now. So definitely go pick it up.
Absolutely, and you have another movie coming out soon with Lindsay Lohan. Tell me how that all came about.
That is correct. Well, about a year ago, I'm originally from New York. I'm from Levittown, New York, and about a year ago, the beginning of last year, I came out to Los Angeles, where I'm currently living. I'm splitting time, doing the bi-coastal thing, and got out here, and it was probably the middle of last year, around June, May, June, that I get a phone call that they're doing a read-through of the movie Labor Pains. It's a comedy starring Lindsay Lohan that the cast is already set, but they're missing one role. And it's for the role of Greg. They work in an office in the movie, and Greg plays the annoying intern that no one can stand. So so they asked me if I'd come and read for the read-through with the cast, and I said sure. And I wasn't sure if this was an audition or what this was, but I went, and turns out I got to read through with the cast, including great cast members, Lindsay Lohan, Chris Parnell, Cheryl Hines. So it was just a great cast. So I just walk into this room with all these people around me, and I'm kind of taken aback by it. I didn't even get to audition for this thing. So I sit down, and I read through the script with them, and just kind of jump into my part. Everyone started laughing, and the director, Lara Shapiro, came up to me afterward, and she said, "We'd love to have you on board for this project." And I was just blown away because it kind of just fell into my lap, no audition required. So I got that role, shot that movie last summer, and it should be on its way later this year. No set date yet, but later this year, everyone can go check out Labor Pains.
Wow. Oh, wow. I watched the trailer, and it looks pretty funny, so I'm definitely looking forward to that one.
Yes, yes, it should definitely be a cute movie, nice romantic comedy, very funny. Lindsay does a great job in it, and it should be, if I had to wager a guess, I would say PG-13, so all the kids that couldn't go see college should be able to go see Labor Pains when it hits theaters.
Mm-hmm. So now, when you went and auditioned for American Idol, even getting as far as you got, did you think, and then getting, you know, voted off the show or whatever, did you think that you were going to have the opportunities that you have now? You know, I mean, this has really kind of boomed you in a different direction too, though.
Yes, yes, that's a great question, and it was pretty interesting. You know, when I was on the show, it was just such a whirlwind ride. I'm 19 years old now. I was only 16 when I did the show, so I was as young as you can be doing it, and it feels like the experience went by in a snap, really. It was so overwhelming in a good way, and I had such a fun time with it that you don't even think about while you're doing it and while you're going through that Idol experience. You don't even think about afterwards until it comes, and once I got cut from the show, that's when I really started thinking about it. And, you know, one would think that coming off of American Idol, you'd pursue a career within the music business. And I tried to, and I'm still trying, and I'm still singing, definitely. But it just happened, just turned out that there were more opportunities within acting, with movies and television. Mm-hmm. And I was very open to that. I love to act just as much as I love to sing. And to answer your original question, I don't know that I ever thought it would come to this, you know, making two movies and having these other opportunities, but I'm just so blessed and so happy that it has, and I really want to ride it out and see where it goes and continue.
Mm-hmm.
Did you act as a kid? I mean, were you acting in school plays or you know, the similar type situations?
Yes, yes, definitely. I could tell you that was my only experience. American Idol was my first real experience within this industry, and then from there, you know, prior to that, I had only acted. Yeah, I did the plays in school and the musicals. I loved that. That was my thing. And to just be, you know, get the opportunity to audition for movies and television afterward, I was thrilled and jumped right into it. And you know, got lucky with college. And since then, have just continued on and have been doing it ever since and loving it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been fun.
And
well,
no, you made it to the top 10 on out of how many hundreds of thousands of people auditioned for Idol that season. I mean, to make it to the even though you didn't win, to make it to the top 10 is a pretty impressive achievement.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, it was incredible. I think they said something. We went back and looked at the statistics after our year was done for season five. They said nearly 100,000 auditions.
Oh.
And to make it, yeah, and it blows my mind too, because I went there as a 16-year-old kid just for the experience. I honestly, not for a lack of self-confidence, but I didn't think I'd make it past round one. I'm this little kid, you know, not your typical good-looking guy who would go out for these things, and I didn't anticipate making it nearly as far as I did. So it was incredible, and just to be a part of that final 12 and that group of finalists, it was a dream. It was awesome.
Yeah, and you were in there with some pretty impressive talent too.
Yeah, it was a great season, I have to say. You know, being there with Chris Daughtry and being there with Catherine McPhee, Elliot Yameen, it was a really talented year, and these were all people that were, you know, older than me, and you know, just with a little bit more experience, and just to make it to that final group, I was looking around. I was like, this is quite the diverse group of talent we have this year. I was just honored to be a part of it.
Wow. And did you make any close friendships within the contestants? Because you always hear about, you know, because you live together, right?
Yeah, we do. I think how the show originally started, well, when they originally started doing Idol, they had them all live in a mansion, kind of like an American Idol where you sing, and then a little bit of the real world too, because they all live in a mansion and you see what happens when you put them all together and living. But for our season, they actually had us staying in apartments. So we each had a roommate, and I became close friends with a lot of the people in my season. There was great chemistry, you know, made some great friendships. I'm still really close with a good friend of mine, Ace Young, who's doing great things. Finished up his run in Grease on Broadway. So I'm real close with Ace still. He's like another older brother to me. Lisa Tucker, Paris Bennett. I made a lot of lifelong friends throughout that experience, definitely.
That's great to hear, because, you know, in a situation like that where you're all competing with each other, I would imagine you're kind of wary about bonding, and yet you can't help but bond. And so I think it's an odd dance. From the, from the outside looking in, it seems like it would be.
Oh, I completely agree with you. It really is. And it was once, you know, people at home may think, oh, well, they probably want, you know, they want these the other contestants to get eliminated so they can make it the furthest. But it was kind of, it was like mixed feelings, because you want to make it as far as you can. But at the same time, you know, I went through that experience and, you know, made it to the finals. And I saw some of my really great friends go home, and I felt awful about it. It was like,
exactly.
You know, you get so close to these people, spending 24/7 with them.
Exactly.
In what I like to call the American Idol bubble, because you literally – cut off from the rest of the world. So it was intense, man, and you know, made some great friends, and it was tough seeing them go. And likewise, I think when I went, it was tough for some of my other friends to see me go that were still on.
Right. Kevin, how was that set up? I mean, like, okay, you all get selected. You all go to Hollywood. Once, you know, they pick the final, you know, the top 10, you are all living together where? In a hotel? Or, I mean, do they, like, ban you from television? Or what are you allowed to do and not to do?
You know what? I think it varies per season. I think when the show started, they had them all staying in a mansion. And I think as the show grew in popularity, for us, they had us hidden away. I couldn't even tell you the name. I'm trying to think. But out here in L.A. where I am right now, they had us in an apartment complex. Kind of removed. They tried to keep the location really under wraps, so no one was coming around. And so they had us staying in an apartment complex, and it was funny because every time someone would get eliminated, like two roommates would like the two roommates that were staying together. My roommate was Bucky Covington, who's doing great things now within country music. A good friend of mine. Bucky and I were together, and when I got eliminated, Elliot Yameen ended up moving in with Bucky. So it's like every time someone would get cut, they would like consolidate. It was fun, but
oh wow,
but. Yeah, so but to answer your other part of the question, yeah, we were kind of removed, and not in the sense that they didn't let us do other things, but we were just so busy. I mean, it was basically from the studio to the apartment to the Ford video shoot to the studio and so on and so forth. So it was amazing. You know, we just you kind of forget about the outside world when you're enthralled in that experience. So.
Now, at 16 years old, though, that had to be like some kind of experience for you. Were you required to have one of your parents with you?
That's correct, yes. Being as young as I was, and it was actually a pretty young season. The semifinals, out of the semifinals, the top 24 that year, there were seven of us that were minors. And when you're a minor, California state law, child labor laws, you need a guardian with you. So I actually had my mom and dad, who are my number one supporters. Mom or dad was with me throughout the entire Idol experience. And it was fun. You know, it was someone to watch over you, and at the same time, you know, you want to do your own thing. But being that young and doing it, it felt good to have one of my parents alongside me the entire way. So, yeah, that was how it was set up.
All right. So tell us the truth now. Who's the best judge?
Well, I can tell you who my favorite is. I mean, you know, I love them all in different ways. I would say my favorite is Randy. And Randy is very, you know, he's unappreciated at times because everyone looks to Simon, you know, as the big bad judge with the, you know, the harsh but most of the time true words, and then they look to Paula as being the nice and sweet one. And Randy, I don't feel gets all the credit that he deserves. I mean, he's, you know, he's a great musician, he's a great mind within the industry, and he gave me some of the best constructive criticism in the world throughout my time on the show. You know, he wasn't afraid to tell me I didn't like the song, but I like you. And you know, I like the way you know you do what you do, and he was a great guy. I really like Randy. I really appreciate him.
I completely agree with you. And the great thing about Randy is he's been on both sides of it. He's been in a band, he's been a musician, and he's also been a producer. So he's been on all sides of the business, and I would think that kind of input is invaluable.
Oh, it really is. I mean, some of the stuff, you know, that I got from him and from the other judges as well, too, you know, I'll take with me forever. I mean, they gave me some great advice along the way. But yeah, Randy's probably my favorite, I'm not afraid to say.
I think he's my favorite, too, I would have to say.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Simon is a decent judge, but I honestly think a lot of that is just blown up for television, for ratings.
Yes.
You know,
somebody
has
yeah.
to be the bad guy, you know. And
that's definitely true. People wouldn't watch as much if no one was, you know, being harsh. So.
Exactly. Now, tell me, on American Idol also, this whole thing that passed over these past couple months with that potential contestant that went in for the audition, the Paula Abdul fan that ended up killing herself out in front of her house. I mean, did you, in your time during the audition process, did you ever run into some crazed people like that? I mean, she was obviously obsessed with Paula.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously the girl had issues, not to take away from, you know, what her family went through or whatever. But, I mean, at a point, there's got to be somewhere or someone in your life that has to say, hey, you know, this ain't for you and you really need to quit it. I mean, where do you draw the line between obsession and actually what you're able to do? And as far as the show's responsibility, you know, you see this girl is so absolutely ridiculously involved with Paula Abdul to the point where Paula Abdul even stated that she told those producers, I'm afraid of this girl. I don't want her in here. And they did anyway.
Exactly.
And then she ends up killing herself.
Yeah, it's a really intense story and a very sad one. I mean, that ended up happening. I remember that young contestant, also named Paula, that she was on my season 5,
mm-hmm.
and I remember watching. And I remember, you know, at the time, you know, you're watching the shows, and I was watching, of course, being involved in it and having all my friends on too. I was watching it, and I remember watching that episode and you know, laughing because obviously she was meant to be, you know, the butt of the joke on that particular episode. She's obsessed, and everyone's laughing, and it makes great television. But then, you know, there are some things that happen behind the scenes, unfortunately, and you know, I wasn't aware of it. The contestants weren't made aware of things like that. But, you know, in the event that Paula Abdul went to them and told them not to include this you know, this young lady on the television show, then it's unfortunate that they went ahead and did anyway for ratings. I think there is a line, and you know, sometimes you cross it, or sometimes people in the industry cross it, you know, to get those ratings, to make great TV. And it's unfortunate because in the case of this young girl, clearly there were problems, there were issues, and you know, when it goes that far, then something's wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I'm stuttering. The tragedy with Jennifer Hudson that she went through. Did you catch her performance at the Super Bowl?
I did. Very hard. I mean, it's so hard to bounce back from that. I mean, Jennifer's a tremendous talent. I remember watching a few years prior to being on and watching her on Idol, and just thinking, you know, when she got eliminated, I was like, you know, this is ridiculous. She's so talented, and she got kicked off so early. I mean, what was it, like 7 or 8 that she went home? And you know, I'm really proud to see what she has done with her career. But you know, it's just so tough whenever, you know, a tragedy like that occurs, but she's going to bounce back and she'll continue to be great because she's a tremendous talent.
Well, she was fine last night. I mean, you know, everybody always holds up Whitney Houston's version of that song as the gold standard, but I think Whitney's got some competition now. She was pretty sterling last night.
I agree with you. Tremendous voice. Just a great, great talent she is.
Unbelievable. Did you watch the game?
I did watch the game. I am, let me just say, I am a huge, huge football fan, huge sports fan. I mean, I love it. If after this whole singing and acting thing, if it ever ends for me, I want to go and be a sports broadcaster.
Who were you rooting for last night?
Thing.
You know what? I wasn't, you know, rooting either way. I guess the underdog, because I'm a Jets fan. I'm a sad, sad Jets fan from New York who, you know, unfortunately has gone through how many years of suffering now? It's been 4 years since we were last there.
I hear you totally. I'm an Indianapolis fan, and we got eliminated early, so I totally hear you on that. But
that's true, and you always have high expectations for Indy. I mean, with Peyton
Manning.
I know.
And after they got off to such a sluggish start in the season and kind of pulled it together and bounced back late in the game, it looked like they were going to go all the way. And
I thought so. People had them as a favorite, but but yeah, I guess last night I was happy to see Pittsburgh win. I mean, the team that deserved to win won the game, and you know, tremendous defense. They're just so talented. I'd kill for the Jets to have a defense like that.
what a game, though. I mean,
I got jealous. Great game.
Pray for.
Oh, it was tremendous watching Larry Fitzgerald. I thought Larry Fitzgerald put the nail in the coffin when he scored that touchdown, and then the Steelers came back and had another run in him. It was amazing. What a game! Two straight Super Bowls that are just incredible. It's been fun watching these past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
In the chat room, they're saying, "Oh my God, more Super Bowl talk!" Jesus, I think people are so sick. Obviously, you know, the conversation started out about Jennifer Hudson, and of course, it just got to lead into that. It was a good game, so I mean, you know, people are gonna talk. Definitely going to talk for a little while about it. But Novell's in the chat room, Brandon, and from Buzzworthy Radio, and he's depressed that his Eagles were not in it. But
I feel bad. Eagles should have been
SOL. SOL, Novell, SOL. You know what? Somebody in the chat room, Samantha, did that piss you off when you were on American Idol and they compared you to Chicken Little?
This is a $1 million question. This is a question that, you know, every interview ever since, and probably every interview that I will do, you know, as time goes on, this question will be asked. You know, it didn't piss me off. It really, you know, I was all right with it, and I'll tell you why. It was actually, you know, while we were doing the show, one of my best friends on the show, one of my good friends to this day, Paris Bennett. Paris, great singer. She's doing great things now. She gave me the nickname because when I first met her, she looks at me and she's like, "You look like Chicken Little." And I said, "Okay." And I wasn't too aware of Chicken Little at the time. It was the time that the movie was coming out. I was like, "All right, that's an odd thing to say to someone you've just met, but, you know, okay, whatever." So Paris, from that day on, we from the beginning of the process until we became great friends to the very end, you know, before I got eliminated, and she's called me Chicken Little. So that was kind of like her little pet name from her to me, and I was never offended by it. The show got a hold of this, and the show realized what Paris was calling me, and they decided to run with it. So it was actually the dress rehearsal of the day of the performance that they decide to do the split screen. I finished singing Heard It Through the Grapevine, which was my performance song that day, and then they do the split screen in back of me, and I was like, ha-ha, joke's on me, funny, funny. And then Nigel Lithgow, who at the time was the executive producer of the show, he since left, he comes over to me and he says, "Listen, Kevin, we don't have to run with this if you don't want to. We don't have to do this. But if you're cool with it, then we'll do it. We'll have a little fun tonight." And I said to myself, "What's the point of being here? It's to have fun. I'm not gonna stop them. If it's gonna be a good time, then it'll be a good time." In the back of my mind, not thinking that it would become what it became, and that
right.
I would lose my first name of Kevin and only be referred to as Chicken Little for the rest of my life.
That's hysterical.
But, you know, that's what happened. So I let them run with it, and that's why it doesn't make me angry, because the show did give me the option, and I chose to run with it only because I wanted to have a good time. But I didn't know that 3 years later people still wouldn't know my first name. So.
Yeah, that's funny.
Oh, God,
television is all about easy associations. So,
it totally is. That's funny.
So if you can get something, if you can get yourself tagged with something, you know, out of the box, you're kind of stuck with it forever, I think.
Exactly, exactly. And you know, to this day, I wonder, you know, I ended up going pretty far on the show, further than I could have ever imagined, probably further than other people might have imagined as well. And, I, you know, I wonder whether it was for the singing or for, you know, the personality that they kind of developed, you know, the yeah. whole moniker and being called Chicken Little. And it's like, you never know, but you go on and that's that. So, you know, I was fine with it. You know, you can't take things that seriously in life, in my opinion, so.
Yes.
No. Well, somebody in the chat room is asking, but that brings me back, and I did see that when all that happened, and it was funny, but it brings me to a movie.
Yes.
I was watching Goodfellas this weekend, and if you've all seen Goodfellas, you know
oh, yeah.
the scene where Joe Pesci comes into the bar with his new girlfriend and the guy's there that just came out of jail. I can't remember his name right now. And he's like, hey, there's, you know, Tommy Shoeshine or whatever. And he's like, it ain't no Shoeshine no more. I'm a big boy now. And when I hear them call you Chicken Little, it's like I picture you as like Joe Pesci. Look, I'm way past Chicken Little, all right? I've been in an unrated movie. I'm in a movie with Lindsay Lohan. Now, back off.
Awesome.
That's what I see.
That's awesome. You know, and I'm going to have to, when people call me that, I'm going to have to start replying with exactly that. I'll just.
Oh, God, yeah. You're going to have to research the actual dialogue because I can't think of it for the life of me right now. But it was just hysterical, and that's what it reminded me of.
Too funny. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, God. You have a book? What is this book they're posting in the chat room?
Well, you know what? This isn't my book. The chicken to start the title of the book might be deceiving, but this is actually Idol's book. It's Chicken Soup for the American Idol Soul is the book.
Oh,
it came
okay,
out,
yeah.
Over a year ago, in stores now, I still believe, bookstores, and you could also buy it online, and kind of allows past contestants to tell their story. You know, there's funny stories in there. There's some, you know, some warm-hearted stories. Just a little something for everyone, and it was a blast. I got to actually, you know, kind of give them my take. You know, kind of a funny take on how my American Idol experience went. So mine is meant, you know, to as some comic relief for the book, and I had a great time. So my story's in there, and a bunch of Idol greats from the past are in there as well.
What Samantha wants to know, what is your favorite song that you sang on American Idol?
Very good question. Well, I had the good fortune of singing 5 songs nationwide while I was on Idol, and I would say that my favorite one was probably my favorite one to perform was probably When I Fall in Love, and it's that was my final song on the show, and I feel like, you know, you really grow, you know, throughout the experience. And I went from being absolutely frightened the first time I was on that stage to really comfortable by week 5, right before I went home. And to this day, I still believe Idol was my When I Fall in Love was my best performance. And coincidentally, it was the song that got me. It was my performance that got me kicked out. That's the one I got booted on. So it's but that was my favorite. I love performing it to this day. It was on the Idol compilation album for that year, and I really love that one.
And the second part to her question, who are some of your idols?
Wow, some of my idols? Well, you know, personally, definitely my parents, huge inspiration, my entire family. You know, just I have a really, really great support system. You know, to do Idol as young as I was and to have my family supporting me there the entire time, I wouldn't have made it that far without them. Just the greatest parents in the world. So I'd start off with Mom and Dad. And who else do I like? I guess idols within, like, the industry that I look up to. I'm a huge Brian McKnight fan. I've always loved him. He's a huge vocal inspiration to me. So definitely Brian McKnight would probably be one of the biggest for me.
Brian McKnight is actually – I'm sorry. I was just going to say Brian McKnight is actually going to be on the new Celebrity Apprentice with Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah? Very nice.
Yes.
Oh, Brian's great. Yeah, I'm a huge fan.
Go ahead, Brandon. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just saying, where's he been the past couple of years? You know, he was so big for a while, and then he's kind of dropped off the map a little bit in the past couple of years. Did we know?
You know what? I think he just released a holiday album this past holiday season. He had a holiday album come out, and then I guess another one in the works. But it just goes to show. I mean, you know, Brian McKnight, in my opinion, one of the best vocal talents of our time. I mean, phenomenal voice, and it's just so hard to, I mean, to stay current. It just goes to show that if you're not, like, now, people, you know, not forget. I mean, no one's going to forget the guy, but But it's just tough to, you know, keep at it and to, you know, to be the news every day. But I agree. I mean, I'm waiting for that next big album of his to blow up. So.
Yeah.
You know, the thing is with singers, I think, you know, we think sometimes that they may have dropped off the face, but they're doing so many behind the scenes things nowadays.
Exactly.
You know, instead
exactly,
of
yeah.
You know, being front faced and stuff. So who knows what he's doing? I actually spoke to his publicist when they announced the Celebrity Apprentice cast, so I can try and have him on the show. And she said that he was like really slammed with things that he was doing, and she would let me know when the time was available. So hopefully he'll come on and talk about it. But
oh, you never know. I mean, I'm sure with tours and stuff like that. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. But that sounds great. If he's on the show,
yeah.
I'll definitely be tuning in. I'll be listening then.
Oh, absolutely. I would die if he came on the show. I'd love him.
Oh, it'd be incredible.
Samantha wants to know what you want to pursue more in the future, music or acting. I'm going to throw something in also, Samantha, because he is only 19 years old, for crying out loud. Are you going to college?
That's a great question. It was funny because, you know, getting off of Idol at 16, I still had high school to finish. I went home to New York. I went home to Levittown, Long Island is where I'm from. I went back and I finished high school. And then after that, before coming out to Los Angeles at the beginning of last year, I did a semester at Hofstra University. I had a great time. So I've got one semester completed of college, and I'm currently taking a leave of absence, you know, in pursuit of the career in acting and singing. But I definitely do plan to go back. School is one of my top priorities. I'm never gonna, you know, drop out or anything like that. I definitely do intend on going back, probably for broadcast journalism, which is something that I really aspire to do besides
mm-hmm.
my career. So I do plan on going back. I can't tell you when, but it'll probably be soon. And I would love to do it all. I want to do the career. I want to do the singing, the acting, and go and finish up college.
Well, yeah, you're definitely young enough. And
yeah.
As Samantha says, my kids, Jordan, Austin, and Tristan, love him. So you definitely have some major fans out there.
Well,
it's too
so
late
sweet.
For them to be up to call in. So, damn you, Samantha.
It is
I know you're.
Over there, isn't it?
Yeah, Samantha, I know you're a lenient mom. You could have let them stay up, my little youngest girl. Come on. Samantha's actually someone that I grew up with in Yonkers because I'm from New York, too. But,
very
nice. Yeah. So, and Brandon's out in Texas.
Very nice.
Well, I'm actually in Buffalo now, so I shouldn't say that, but yeah. cold is all hell up here now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely cold. So what's new for you next? What's next? Okay, we got College is on DVD, so all of you in the chat room who are above 18, because it is unrated, don't watch it around the
yeah.
children, go pick that
the
up, rent it at Blockbuster, buy it, whatever. And then Labor Pains, do you have a set date for when that's coming out, or you don't know?
Unfortunately, there is no set date for Labor Pains. If I had to guess, I would say the middle of this year. At some point, you know, hopefully this summer, it'll be out. But no set date. Once a set date comes out, you could keep track on my website. I got a splash page up right now and a MySpace page as well that you can
mm-hmm.
Keep up with that on. But no set date for that yet. And then I'm just continuing on a few potential projects in the works. Can't say anything about it, but definitely some TV involved as well. So keeping with
cool.
you know, alongside the movies, doing the TV thing as well. So hopefully you know, once I can get word out about that, I will be letting you guys know about that too.
Cool beans. Acting wise, who do you aspire to act with?
Oh, wow. You know, it's great. I mean, you know, in the two movies that I've done already, you know, it's great because I've gotten to act with people that I've grown up watching that are, you know, close in age to me, a little bit older. But, you know, first movie I got to do with Drake Bell, and I grew up watching Nickelodeon. So that was really cool. And then the second movie with Lindsay Lohan, I mean, you know, that's pretty self-explanatory. Everyone knows Lindsay Lohan, for
mm-hmm.
better or for worse. People know Lindsay Lohan, so that was a cool experience too. As far as you know, older actors that you know I grew up watching and idolized, definitely Tom Hanks. I mean, that guy is great. I just love absolutely everything
wow.
he does. And if I could ever just work with him. I know he's doing the behind-the-scenes thing now, and that man's on top of the world. I would love to work with him one day. So yeah, you know, guys like that, I really hopefully one day aspire to work with.
That would be fabulous.
That's aiming high. That's reaching, you know, that's a stretch. I could get
now,
there.
Lindsay Lohan, what was your interactions with her like on Labor Pains?
Well, you know
I
what,
mean,
it was... Are we going to say something else?
Well, no, I'm just saying, you know, in this day and age with Brandon and I think alike. with all the press that she gets, and 90% of it is negative. I mean, let's be realistic.
Yeah.
But she's always had rave reviews from actresses that she worked with. I mean, Jane Fonda said that she would adopt her as a daughter if she could. You know, that she was that perfect of a person. But you know what? Again, like I said, 90% of her press is negative, and how was your? Tell me something. Tell me something.
Well, you know what? I can tell you a little something. That you know, during my time shooting, it was you know an honor to work with her because you know she's a fellow Long Islander from
mm-hmm.
New York. So that was really cool. Just getting that chance initially, and then after getting to you know had some brief conversations with her, and she seemed really nice. I mean, I never judge anyone before I meet them, and I know people love to. You know, people love to hate and people love to write, you know, bad things,
mm-hmm.
especially, you know, whether it be on the internet or, you know, on the news, they got TMZ, they got everything now, you know, where they're just, you know, sticking a camera in people's faces and talking about how horrible they are. And, you know, I'm not for that at all. I mean, I don't judge anyone until I get to know them, until I meet them. And my interaction with her was great. You know, a lot of my scenes, I played a co-starring role and we both work in this office in the movie. And, you know, a lot of my scenes were, you know, one-on-one with her. And I've got nothing but nice things to say about those experiences. You know,
mm-hmm.
as you said earlier about her fellow actors and actresses saying, you know, great things about her, I've got nothing bad to say. She was a pleasure to work with. She did really well, and she is talented. She's very talented, and I think people are so, you know, fixated on, you know, all the mistakes and all the bad things that happen, you know, outside of, you know, when she's, you know, filming or you know, when she's doing her movies. But, you know, in the moment working with her, it was a lot of fun. I had a good time.
Yeah, does that kind of stuff scare you to see? I mean, she is, you know, she's just 21 years old. I mean, what was the paparazzi like around your set? Was there any? Was it hard to
Yes, I have to tell you that I had no experience with the paparazzi. I'd heard lots about them, that they were at all the hot spots in L.A. and they were all around, but I'd never seen them. I didn't know if they were real or not, or if they were just, I'd never seen them myself. But... Labor Pains was my very first experience with the paparazzi, and it was literally like 6-7, you know, at times like 10 guys with cameras outside of where we shot a lot, you know, we shot in an office in Burbank, California, and these guys were out there literally every day, and a lot of the times it was just the same guys. Sometimes a new face would pop in, but most of the time it was these same guys, and every time we'd go from base camp, you know, where our trailers were, right over to set, you know, that whole walk, they would just be on top of her, and she'd have to have people alongside her, and it was, you know, it was a trip watching that, I gotta tell you, because this was my first experience with it. You know, they didn't bother with me, they didn't know who the heck I was, but, but, you know, just to see that, you know, at a distance, I was like, wow, this is, you know, I gotta imagine that, you know, having to deal with this a lot of the time must take its toll, and you sympathize, because Lord knows I would never want to be in that position one day where someone's just sticking a camera in my face everywhere I go. That would be awful.
Amen.
And we have our young caller. Oh, wait a minute. Where'd she go?
Our young
Samantha.
Caller?
Yes, she hung up, Samantha, but I...
Samantha?
Oh, no, there she is. Sorry. Her call popped up. Let's see here. No, her... Jordan, say hi.
Hi,
Kevin.
Hi.
Hello.
I was just wondering how you got into acting after being on American Idol.
That's a very good question you've got there. You know, it was interesting how it occurred. I got off of Idol, and as I said earlier, you know, I thought that, you know, there would be opportunities within the music industry, and there were. But I found that, you know, I got hooked up with a manager back home and an agent who had seen me on the show and were interested in working with me. So I got hooked up with them on the show, and then after that, they kind of geared me and got me into auditions for some projects, you know, that were out in Los Angeles, and I went in for some auditions back home in New York, And before I knew it, I'd gotten my first role in college, the comedy I did, and since then have gotten labor pains. So it was, you know, a lot of it was being noticed on Idol, and that was kind of my breakout moment, was being on the show, and it definitely got me into the acting business out here.
Oh, well, so far it seems like you've done a pretty good job for yourself, considering you've already been in two movies. So.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
So, Jordan, I hear you like to sing.
A little.
Just a little?
Kind of.
Well, yeah, but not so much in public.
No.
Oh, no?
No.
you get
American Idol
Jordan?
For you?
Oh, no. I'm not that good. Not even close.
Oh.
Well,
sure
wouldn't you rather go try out American Idol and have Simon tell you you're not that good?
Simon, I could care less.
I like that
attitude.
I like that attitude. You don't care what people say. I like that.
Not really.
She's a Yonkers girl, man. She don't care what nobody says. Are you
kidding
me?
Oh, from Yonkers? Oh, yeah. I mean, that's New York pride right there. I've got some myself. I mean, I'm from out on the island, but we have our pride. You know, we don't let people, you know, talk down to us and get away with it.
Exactly.
Very nice. I love it.
Oh,
love
gosh.
It.
Thanks, Jordan. Oh, she's so cute. She's the same age as you. She's 19.
That's cute. She's
yeah,
very...
that's perfect. But, yeah, I mean, back to the media blitz kind of thing. I mean,
yes.
I would think at the age that you're at and to come from a background that is not exposed to it, that would be definitely a frightening thing. And then to look at your future in music or acting, the thought of, I mean, I watch TMZ, I look and I see, and I watch how they just,
exactly.
like, seriously shove, I mean, they literally shove the cameras in people's faces and don't let them breathe.
They don't hold
you
back,
know?
They go crazy over there, yeah.
Absolutely. So, like, so I was wondering, like, what your thoughts were on that, what your parents thought about stuff like that.
Yeah, you know what?
Their boy getting involved in that kind of life.
I think, you know, my parents are, you know, were initially a little concerned because they know that, you know, being out here in Los Angeles and being around it, being in that environment, that, you know, they're worried, you know, that, oh, my God, well, what if he goes out one night and, you know, something crazy happens? But mm-hmm. they know me, and they know that that's not my scene at all. I'm actually kind of a homebody. You know, I just like being at home, watching the game, watching Family Guy. I mean, that's more what I like to do. So, you know, I'm really, you know, I don't get too worried about it. And, I mean, it's unfortunate when you do see it, but I try to stay out of that. I mean, I don't get involved in that. And, you know, in the event that I go on to do more things and become more of a name and, you know, people, you know, try to, you know, bring you down and try to, you know, shove a camera in your face, you know, I'll worry about it then. But I don't see it being too much of an issue with me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, getting back to Lindsay Lohan, my suspicion is, and I mean, I don't have any first-hand experience, I've never met her, but my suspicion
right.
is that the Lindsay Lohan of the tabloids and the entertainment shows and the Lindsay Lohan of real life is two completely different people.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd have to agree with you. I mean, whenever the camera is, you know, put in front of you, it kind of forces you to act in a different way. I mean, it's not the same person that you would be when you're around your family and your friends, just having a good time, you know, on your own. So it definitely forces you to react differently. I mean, your guard has to be up. You have to, you know, maybe you're a little bit more rude. You know, you gotta do what you gotta do to avoid that. And So I definitely don't envy her. I don't envy people, you know, these huge celebrities that have to be in that position. It's not easy.
Yeah, I also wonder if she hasn't, I don't know, maybe not fallen on the sword is quite the right phrase, but if she hasn't, you know, kind of invited some of that attention on herself to deflect attention away from other people in her circle, maybe.
And you know what? Honestly, I couldn't tell you. I mean, you never know. I guess that possibility is always there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a sad story, but I don't see that for you.
That's not me at
just
all.
Like talking to you. You've got such, you know, and I said this to a few people that we've had on the show already. I have an actress on a couple weeks ago, Tana Frederick. She's she does a lot of independent films, and she got some Oscar buzz and stuff like that. And she and I said to her, because we were talking about the same thing, I believe if a lot of these actors or actresses keep at least 2 to 3 good friends that they grew up with in their lifetime, they wouldn't be having these issues.
Exactly.
They need people to keep them grounded consistently, you know?
Exactly. And when you have that right support system, you know, like I do, you know, you can avoid, you can definitely avoid those situations. Sometimes, at least for me, you know, in getting off American Idol, and, you know, there was a lot of attention that I never really, you know, didn't really want that much. You know, I was happy to advance as far as I did, but I got back to my high school, and they threw this huge pep rally for me, and it was all really nice, and I was grateful, but, you know, that I would never invite that much attention upon myself. And so it's just one of those things where, you know, you just keep yourself grounded and, you know, surround yourself with, you know, family and the right friends, like you said, and you'll be all right.
Exactly.
Definitely.
So on a personal note,
yes.
I understand that you suffer from one of the least understood diseases in this country, and that's diabetes.
Exactly. I am a type 1 diabetic. I'm 19 now, and I was diagnosed when I was 11. So I'm going on 9 years. It'll be 9 years soon that I've had type 1 diabetes.
Wow. My sister was also diagnosed when she was 11, and she used to take insulin twice a day with lunch and dinner, but now she wears one of these insulin pumps where I
guess
she programs exactly what she needs into it for the day, and it pumps it down. What is your regimen like?
Well, for me, it's interesting that you brought that up. I still currently take insulin twice a day. I have yet to get the pump. I was in an age where around 2000 when I was diagnosed, that was right before they really started giving young kids who were diagnosed with diabetes, it was right before they started giving them the pump. The pump is definitely great. It constantly feeds your body insulin throughout the day and regulates your blood sugar. And I recommend it to everyone because I do intend on getting one myself soon. But I, as of right now, I currently go with the same regimen that I started with, giving myself insulin twice a day, once before breakfast and once before dinner. And I've been healthy ever since, really. It's one of those things where when I was initially diagnosed, I was you know, just a young kid. I didn't know what diabetes entailed. I didn't know anything about it. And, I was scared. I didn't know if things would be the same. And it turns out that things were a little different because I had to take care of myself a little bit more than I used to. But for the most part, I was still leading my life the way I had before. I was still in school. I was still playing sports. I was still doing the school plays. And life was the same. Just I had one extra thing to take care of. So I definitely love to spread the word about my diabetes and, definitely let people know that they can go on to achieve greatness, to really do whatever they want to do, even if they have it.
Well, don't you think it's a blessing in some ways to have been diagnosed so young while it's still somewhat easy to work it into your daily routine?
Exactly.
I would imagine if you're already an adult when you're diagnosed, I would imagine it's hard to change your ways by that point. But
when
you're
tough.
A kid,
I mean,
it must be...
Exactly. You're used to doing, you know, things, you know, the same way for so long if you get it as an adult. And it's a complete blessing that I got it when I was 11 years old because I wasn't so young that I couldn't manage. Like, I was old enough to be conscious of what was going on and take care of, you know, my blood sugar and regulate. But I wasn't too old that I wasn't, you know, already set in my ways. So it was a huge blessing that if it had to happen, that it happened when it did.
Yeah. And
how
so
hard was that for you on the road?
You know what? It was tough. Like I said, diagnosed at 11 and then going through school, you know, for the first 5 years with it, I was in school, I was home, you know, so that normal, you know, once you establish a routine, you're fine. You know when you're going to be home, you know when you're going to be out with friends, and you know when to take care of it. The first time it started to, I wouldn't say get complicated, but when my regimen changed was actually with Idol. It was the first time I was away from home for an extended period of time across the country. Completely different schedule with doing the show, and it was something that it's the kind of thing where, you know, if there's going to be change, you adapt to that change. You make the, you know, you just have to change up your schedule a little bit, and I did so, but it was tough at first.
Mm-hmm.
And how closely do you have to watch what you eat, and what do you absolutely have to stay away from?
Well, you know, it's sometimes people don't understand. I mean, a lot of times people are like, oh, you're diabetic. Well, you can't have candy. Well, you can't have this. You can't have soda.
Yeah.
It's like, well, no, I can. I got to watch it. I really shouldn't have much of it. And for me, it's all about carb counting, and it's all about keeping things in check and watching how much you're having of a particular something. And for me, I do every day have to, test my blood sugar, 5, 6, 7 times a day. I'm taking insulin twice, and I really do have to, I try to stay away from the candy and the sweets. I really don't have much desire to have them now because it's been a while since I have. But otherwise, I eat a lot. I mean, I'm a growing boy still. I love to eat, so I enjoy like the steak dinners. But and all that. But it's definitely it's about carb counting. So you watch how much you're eating at every meal, and being out here and away from the family right now, my family's back home in New York. I don't have, them to tell me what to do and what not to do and what to eat and what not to eat. So it's, it makes you feel more like an adult. You really have to make adult decisions and watch what you're doing. And I've done well so far with it.
Right.
So there's nothing that's absolutely off limits.
I wouldn't say there's anything that's absolutely off limits. I mean, if it's like a lollipop covered in sugar, I'd probably stay away from it. I probably wouldn't mess with that, but and obviously regular, soft drinks or juices, unless my blood sugar is rather low. Those are the types of things that I definitely stay away from, that I encourage anyone young and diabetic to stay away from as well.
How tuned in are you to your body? Do you know when you're a little high or when you're a little low? Can you feel it immediately?
That's the incredible thing, is that, having it for 8 years now, yes, I can feel when I'm high and when I'm low. I know when I'm dipping down a little bit. I know when I need to go and get some juice or, get anything with sugar. A lot of times glucose, I'd recommend glucose tablets. They have liquid glucose that you could, buy in any stores. And those are the types of things that I could tell when I'm low that help me to easily take care of that. And on the flip side, I can definitely feel when my blood sugar is too high and when I need to get a little bit more insulin into me too. Just getting accustomed to how my body feels with it is something that I've really – and it's a blessing to be able to know when you're that low because you know when to take care of it. So.
Mm.
Exactly. In some ways, it sounds strange to call it a gift, but in some ways it might be just because it puts you so completely in tune with your body and its functions.
Exactly.
Because you have to, It literally is a life or death matter. You have to be.
You have to be. I mean, you have to be aware of it because it can affect how you go about your life and how you are in life. So I completely agree with you. I mean, it's sort of a blessing in disguise. Do I wish I wasn't diabetic? Of course. But now that I am, am I fully conscious and aware of my body and what to do and what not to do? And yeah, definitely. So it's a blessing in disguise, I think.
Have you ever thought of going to one of these, like the Juvenile Diabetes Foundations, to try and become a spokesperson? You were diagnosed at such a young age?
Yes, yes. I'll tell you that, during my experience with American Idol, I really didn't express to people, during my time on the show that I was a diabetic. I was diabetic alongside Elliot Yameen. One of my good friends from my season, he's a type 1 diabetic as well, and he was a little bit more vocal about it during his time on the show. And I chose not to say anything, not because I was ashamed or because I didn't want to talk about it, but because, I was there to sing, and it was only after I was done with the show that I realized what I could do within the diabetic community, and it was just great. I hadn't even realized it, hadn't thought about it long and hard until after my time on the show was done. I actually have attended several juvenile diabetes funds. I've been down to Florida and hung out with kids at a JDRF event, and I'm currently working with juvenile diabetes and would love to continue to be a spokesperson. But I have attended quite a few events for it and have just had a blast. I mean, getting to talk to kids who go through the same experiences I have, and
right.
And also reassure them that life goes on and you could do whatever you want. Really?
I could see you being a great spokesperson for that. I mean,
They're
saying in the chat room, that you definitely have it down to a science, and you express yourself, very clearly, and you know what's what, and I think that you would be great to talk to kids about stuff like that. It's a scary thing when you're a kid.
It really
is. You're welcome.
And thank you, chat room.
Oh, they hear you. Definitely. We have 5 minutes left, and Samantha
okay.
wants to know, do you want to do Broadway? If you do, what would be your dream role?
Oh, boy. That is a phenomenal question, Samantha. I definitely want to do Broadway. I'll tell you that after my time on Idol was done, I actually got a chance to audition for several Broadway plays. I think it was a case of that they definitely, you know, liked me and they definitely enjoyed me, but it was more of a thing where, you know, I was a little young. I got the incredible opportunity to audition for Wicked. That would be a dream of mine to be in that show. A phenomenal Broadway show. And a show that closed, I want to say, well, it was about a year ago, maybe a little less. But the show Rent, the role of Mark in Rent would be my dream role.
Exactly.
I would love it. I realize that I probably still, to this day, look a little too young for it. I would say 2-3 years down the road, if they bring that thing back on Broadway, I want to be the first one to play Mark in Rent. That's my dream role.
Okay, that's cool.
And you know what? They're doing touring companies of it because it's coming through Austin at the end of April, and my
brother
and I are going to go see it. So
I would be too. I may have to join up, to the national tour one day. I would absolutely love it. It's a great show.
You would be perfect for something like that.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you.
Carissa in Florida wants to know, besides diabetes, is there any other causes that you support or that you are passionate about?
Well, you know what? I'm definitely passionate about a lot of other things. I've been to quite a few cancer rallies and have walked for ALS in the past. And I would say breast cancer is one in particular that really hits close to home. I lost my grandma a few months back. And she had breast cancer, and just an incredible woman. I miss her so much. She was just an inspiration to me, and one of my number one fans. So that one I hold near and dear to my heart. And I had the pleasure and the honor to go to several breast cancer rallies. Following my time on the show. So that one really hits close to home.
Okay, real quick. Would this have been your first year able to vote?
Yes, it would.
What did you think about this election? I mean, if you could sum that up in 3 minutes.
I will sum it up rather quickly because, I mean, I don't want to say I'm not huge on the politics, but, you know, I would love to know more about it, and I feel like in order to give you an honest opinion, that I would have to myself be a little bit more educated on politics. But you know, looking at it from the outside, you know, outside looking in, I was very satisfied, you know, with the election of President Obama. He said all the right things, and if he can, and you know, to keep it short, if he can act on everything that he said and do the things that he said, then, our country is going to be in much better shape 4 years down the road than it is now even. So I'm excited about it.
Good. All right. So we've had a few American Idol from the past on our show.
Oh, yeah?
Kimberly Locke was here.
Oh, very nice.
Robbie Carrico. See, now, Kimberly, who you might have heard in the beginning, she sang for me. Are you going to sing?
Oh, goodness. You're putting me on the spot. I can't sing.
Oh, we did that to her, too.
Yeah, we did.
You put her on the spot? Well, what did she sing when you put her on the spot?
What did she sing, Brandon?
She sang A Little Bit of Wrong, which was one of her hit singles.
Oh, boy. Well, now you're putting me in a really rough spot.
Give me 10 seconds of something.
I don't have any hit singles.
So what? Give me 10 seconds of something.
Oh, God. What am I going to sing?
What was the song you sang at the end of American Idol? Give me 10 seconds of it.
I can tell you I auditioned with You Raise Me Up, which is one of my favorite songs. So I'll do Josh Groban's You Raise Me Up. I'll give you the chorus. 10 seconds. Here it goes.
Go right ahead.
You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be.
There you go.
How beautiful is that? I mean, come on. All right, and last thing I need from you.
Last thing.
Say hi, this is Kevin Covey on Stardish Radio. Am I saying your last name right? Covey or Covey?
Technically, you know what? There are several different pronunciations of it. I go with Coveyus. That's how our family
Coveyus.
Pronounces it.
Okay.
But we also know a separate Coveyus clan that pronounced it Coveyus, but Coveyus is our pronunciation.
Okay. So just
just
whenever you're ready.
Okay. Hi, this is Kevin Coveyus, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Perfect. Listen to me, everyone in the chat room that's above 18. Go get College on DVD and be on the lookout for Kevin's new movie, Labor Pains, co-starring Lindsay Lohan. And go add him on Facebook and MySpace. This kid's going to have some stuff popping coming off real soon. He is definitely a star in the making. So definitely check him out. Come on back tomorrow for Sandra D. Robinson from Days of Our Lives, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Kevin, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Everyone in the chat room said thank you, and thank you for being such a sweet guy to me and my daughter, Samantha and Jordan.
Thanks, chat room. Thank you, guys. No problem.
All right, sweetheart. Take care, and make sure you keep me informed.
Will do. All right, take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks, Kevin.
Bye-bye.